It's a local music Thursday on the Gary Sharp Show. Somebody, it was great. Somebody earlier on this week said, "Hey, have you heard from Cameron?" That was my like first big, big, huge local music Thursday guy that everybody was a fan of. I have not heard from Cameron, but if you would like to, you can share some love to Cameron at Cameron Ekman. I'll spell that out for you: CameronEckmann on Twitter. I know he appreciates it when we send all of our millions of listeners over to his Twitter page. So he's over there. He's a sports guy. Still not into music, even though I did try to get him to come out of retirement during the pandemic. But you know what? We're going to continue pushing. We are going to continue pushing. It's Cameron on Local Music Thursday on the Gary Sharp Show. Yeah, we're going to keep pushing. Cameron's getting back into country whether he wants to or not. He doesn't know it yet.
George, you could be a promoter.
I could.
You know the labels.
I know somebody who does, yeah.
Welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show from the Grunwald Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing Zone studio. Not only Local Music Thursday, but it is Willie Mays' 90th birthday. And there is a connection to Omaha for the Say Hey Kid, who hit over 300 in his career, hit 660 home runs. Think about the outfielders in New York at the height of Willie Mays. You had Willie Mays, you had Mickey Mantle, and you had Duke Snider. They were all in New York City. Duke Snider in Brooklyn. But you had Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays were both playing in New York. One for the Giants, one for the Yankees. That's incredible. And that city to have those three as large as they were in the game of baseball. But Willie Mays, who celebrates his 90th birthday, again, he's the oldest living Hall of Famer. He could hit, he could catch, he could run, he could throw. He was the GOAT. There are a lot of, like, my father, that's his favorite player of all time, was Willie Mays. I have to be honest, the first time I ever went to watch a video of Willie Mays was with the Mets. But the Willie Mays that was playing for the Giants was unbelievable. But there is an Omaha connection. So back in the 1951, Willie Mays is playing here in town for the Minneapolis Millers. And he gets the call up to go make his major league debut. And they found a way, I don't know if it was a taxi or somebody, got him to the airport. And there is a famous black and white picture that is circulating around social media today of Willie Mays at the ticket counter here in Omaha purchasing or picking up his ticket to go get on a plane and go to the majors. And as you know, the rest is history. Never came back to the minors. But his last minor league game, he was wearing the uniform of the Minneapolis Millers and was playing right here in Omaha. And it was late May in 1951. And today, Willie Mays celebrates his 90th birthday. And there's probably a lot of people like my dad's age that remember when they were a kid. And I got to see Willie Mays play. All right. People are not looking fondly on going to a game in which Angel Hernandez is umpiring. Last night was a total clown show. Typical night for him, either in the field or on the bases. He's had a wild series down in Kansas City. He guessed on a call the other night because he lost the ball in the lights of the scoreboard that is field level at the K. Last night, he may have lost where pitches were coming from. Well, he was behind the plate because they were getting lost in the scoreboard. Who knows? Bad night throughout three Royals. It's a almost nightly and at least a weekly discussion about how bad Angel Hernandez is as his job, which early on this morning led to a discussion about officiating, umpiring. William writes in to the Equitable Bank inbox. Jay Glazer's idea. I've not heard this. This is great. My idea is let's encourage former players, men and women, regardless of sport, to see if they would be interested in officiating when they're done. Want to stay around the game? You have great knowledge of the game. You have a great feel of the game. How about giving back to the game in an area in which we need you? Volleyball, hockey, soccer, baseball, football, all of those sports, basketball. William says, Jay Glazer said they should hire all former military people to be refs and umpires. They are in fantastic shape. They deal with pressure, and people would respect them. I will never understand why umpires are 70-year-old fat guys.
Okay.
In the four major professional sports, one thing that is clear in trying to help with that profession is officials are in shape. I mean, you have to be in shape, whether it be in basketball, whether it be in football. You know, in baseball, I mean, we had John McSherry and Eric Gregg, and they made a big thing about their weight. They embraced how large they were. You are never seeing somebody that large umpire again. Ken Kaiser. Those were three umpires that you knew their name because they were characters. They had fun, but they were also large individuals. Officials today, men or women, are in great shape. Fantastic shape. They are required to be in shape. They have to be in shape to do their job. Chris writes in, how about the electric strike zone? Take the human element out completely. Electronic strike zone, how about just get it right? Now, this is slowly making its way up through the minors. There is a lot of experimentation going on. It started in independent baseball, and now it'll be more in organized baseball. There are still glitches. You still have to have a home plate umpire because if the technology doesn't work, they still have to make the call. It's not foolproof. It may be a while before it ever makes the majors because they've got to work out some kinks. And I, as much as we argue and fret about umpires, I'm still with the human element until you can show me that a computer exactly calls the strike zone and we have no issues whatsoever. But that's why they're experimenting. But I think it's going to be a while before you get the electronic strike zone. I mean, we had an incident, 2 years ago in the Atlantic League where they were experimenting. They weren't able to use the technology because somebody's iPhone went down. Yeah, that would be bad. Major League Baseball game, all of a sudden we can't call balls and strikes because somebody's iPhone 12 went down. Craig says, about 30 years ago, my brother-in-law asked me to help him coach my nephew's baseball team. A couple of times I had to get behind the plate and ump because we didn't have anyone show up to ump the game. You couldn't pay me enough to do that on a regular basis. This was for 12-year-old kids, and no, this wasn't for Little League World Series, but the parents sure thought it was. Some of the criticism was from my own player's parents. My own nephew gave me a death stare when I called him out for not swinging at a perfect pitch. Never again. Joe says, I'm on my way to umpire high school baseball. I would umpire baseball any day of the week over reffing basketball. I coached for 10 years in high school, now umpire and rather umpire.
Basketball is a different giant.
Basketball, you're a little bit closer to the fans.
Yeah. By the way, I'm over here watching Angel Hernandez yesterday. These were bad. Gary, these were bad.
George, I think we should get you behind the plate umpiring baseball this summer.
Ooh.
And then I want to see you throw somebody out.
That would be kind of fun.
I threw out a head coach from Norwalk.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Shane's alma mater.
What'd he do? Just barking?
He was, and actually later in 10 years down the road, we had a mutual friend, and he vaguely remembered what happened. Oh, yeah. I knew who he was. I mean, he's well known in the baseball community in the Des Moines area.
Uh-huh.
He was getting on me, and I wasn't having a good day, so I let him kind of bend my ear a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it went like a step further.
Uh-huh.
I was having a better game. I was okay.
Yeah.
I rang up one of his players on a strike, and it was a really good pitch. And he was lingering from the first couple of innings where I wasn't very good.
Yeah.
He let me have it, and I didn't do one of those, like, stare at him and put my hand up and anything like that. I just listened to him.
Yeah.
I took a step back from the catcher and stood there behind home plate. And once he was really getting on me, then the parents followed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid that I called up on strikes, he knew it was strike three. And I politely said to him between innings, I said, Al, and I probably just dimed him out. I said, Al, that's enough.
Yeah.
I go, that was clearly a strike. And then he just kept going. I went back behind the plate. And then he went a little too far and then dropped, a word. And I stepped back. I looked at him and I said, you are gone.
Oh, I love it.
But I did do the big pump.
Got to do the big pump.
Yep.
Or like the nice little throw. Yeah, you got to throw him out.
So then I was called an a-hole by some lady in the stands. Here's the thing. At the time, they didn't have a rule that if you got thrown out of a first game of a doubleheader, you had to sit out the next game.
Oh, wow.
And so
right back.
Yeah. So that exchanging of the lineup cards at home plate was a little bit different. But yeah, 10 years later, I ran into him and – and I knew who he was, and a mutual friend introduced us. And I said, yeah. I go, hey, when you were the head coach at Norwalk, I threw you out of a game. And then jokingly said, well, you weren't the first.
I love that.
John says about my comment about the electronic strike zone. Absolutely no to the electric strike zone. We need some of the human element. Just don't suck at it. How are you going to kick dirt on a computer up in the press box somewhere on a disputed call? That's the thing. Another part of eliminating arguments is replay. If you go to replay, you can't come out and argue. You know, technically, you're not supposed to argue balls and strikes. That's an automatic heave-ho. But you can't. It's an automatic heave-ho if you argue against a replay. That doesn't go your way. Well, replay in the first month of baseball has gotten a lot of things wrong.
James is on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. He says he ran into a guy who's officiated some of his son's football, basketball, and baseball games the other day. He's done. Only going to do high school football. Why? Parents and idiot coaches. Players talking back. He said that's on parents and coaches. He's like 7v7 pushed him over the edge. That sucks.
We're running out of this spring, we're running out of baseball and softball umpires.
Yeah.
There's little leagues that have trouble filling those, and you know it's the same. Then it becomes the same umpires for we have fall softball with high school, but there's the travel softball. It's the same people over and over. I mean, Greg earlier in his phone call, he's right about high school football officials in this town. That you go and work a 4 o'clock game and you might work a 7 o'clock game, or there's a lot more crews that are working Thursday and Friday, and then a lot of those crews will go and work a junior college game, or they'll go work Division II or NAIA or a Division III game. Because there's just not enough officials.
Right.
Now I would like to work football. Football, you're a lot further removed from the fans.
Absolutely.
And as long as you're not like a side judge. You know, I'd like to be the back judge where you really don't have any interaction with anybody.
Literally.
That'd be perfect for me. I don't backpedal very well, and I would probably end up on like the highlights of falling down on my derriere.
That's too good.
Yes, but yeah, the same people. We do a high school game every week, and it's almost like it's the same people over and over because there's just not enough of them. Or the good crews, they get all the good games. We'll circle back to a little bit. People are getting at me about fighting in hockey. We got to discuss that. We will do that. George got his NBA minute coming up in about an hour after a great – if you ever wonder if the future of the NBA is in doubt, all you had to do was watch Memphis and Minnesota play last night.
Legitimately.
Yep. Ja against Ant-Man. Yeah, NBA is going to be in a good spot. Before the break, here's Drew. Good afternoon, Drew.
I actually forgot what I was going to call about listening to that enthralling story with Al and Urbandale.
Drew, you said you were going to talk about former athletes umpire.
Oh, yeah. Jay Glazer. Whatever.
Hold on. Here. No, Drew, you don't get another chance. You can't come in here and just go, that was a horrible, terrible story. Come up with something better. Have a better ending to that story. You know what a better ending to that story is, Drew?
What?
Somebody that he was dating at the time, I actually went out on a date like a couple years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was something going on there. Okay, Jake.
She goes, do you know baseball? And I said, yeah. She goes, you know Al Blank? And I said, oh, yeah. She goes, yeah, we dated for like 3 years.
Wow.
You left that part out.
So, you know, people think Michael Jordan and Babe Ruth would make great managers because they were players. Officiating is so hard, especially at that level, just to drop someone. Drop Mike Moustakas in there after he finishes playing, or Mike Mussina, who I was thinking of. They would not do it.
I'm not talking about the high-level athletes. I'm talking about, the fringe college athlete that isn't going to go pro, that wants to stay around the game. I think it's different from coaching, being an official. It's when I say that because you have a different feel for the game. Either it be anticipation on what's going to happen, or you've been in that role of where maybe you're getting on the officials. You understand the relationship you have to build. And also, if you find out, if you're a coach, and all of a sudden somebody officiating your game or umpiring your game, you find out as a former college athlete or a former professional athlete, before you know anything about them, you have a respect level for them. But that's the struggle, is how do you get young people involved in officiating? Because it's very easy to say, not a chance that I'm going to get involved in officiating. Hockey for the USHL, they tried this, and they actually had some success. There's a few linesmen that when I was in the USHL, a few linesmen that used to play junior A hockey, played a little college, they got into officiating. They didn't become refs, they became linesmen, and now they are actually in the NHL, but they are former USHL players because they had a really good director of officials at the time that would encourage former players to give back, to stay around the sport, and also, hey, a path to working in the NHL. Is why don't you learn how to be a linesman? And it's, I last checked, I think there's 6 or 7 former USHL players that have actually either full-time right now or in the NHL working lines or have been there before. I think Drew got cut off. Drew is back. Such a riveting comment, Drew. We lost your connection.
David, are you there?
Yes, we got you.
Oh, hey, this is... Old man Doug.
Oh, well. Sorry.
I missed the previous conversation, but one, in my opinion, pretty accomplished player that's a pretty good umpire is our own Bill McGuire.
Yes. Yeah, and he's still doing it, Doug. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I did a little bit of umpiring for about 5 years after my two sons were done playing football.
What kind of an umpire were you?
I was proud to say the last 5 years I didn't throw a coach out of a game.
Okay.
And I missed some calls, and when I did, I expected to hear from them, depending, and some of them would just ask what you see. And usually if you're just honest with them and you say, you know, I may have missed that one, or I probably missed that one, but I can't change my call. Usually they just go right back. It's when you get defensive, and you're getting paid. You know, that's the thing that I always said is, and then the late Denny Jones, who ran Metro Umpires, now I never did work for him. I worked for the NUA, which the reason that most of them were college umpires, and you could learn from them, but, you know, he said, hey, you paid your admission, you can yell at the umpires or whatever, and this was, you know, not that I was doing a lot of that, but some of it, but nothing nasty. You know, the reactions, but it's part of the game. It's part of the game, and if you don't want to get criticism, then don't umpire and don't cash the check.
Well,
when you get to the lower levels and you've got a 12-year-old kid there umpiring a, you know, 7-8 coach pitch game or something like that. I mean, you know, you gotta know what level you're on. But Bill had a big strike zone, so did I. As long as it was consistent, the coaches didn't care. So
Bill's a good.
It was fun while I left.
Yeah, Doug, thanks for the phone call. Bill McGuire has been around for a long time, and he's still a really, really good umpire. That's some of the biggest games around this area. Bill McGuire probably is going to be umpiring. That says a lot about him. He's a good dude. He's given a lot back to the sport and stays involved in the sport and helps a lot of people out. I know that he helps a lot of young umpires out as well. All right, 12:45. George, what happened there?
I don't want to talk about it. Is this true? Yep. Hey, okay.
Doug, I don't think George took your phone call personally.
Nah.
So stick to banking at Equitable Bank.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
My bad, Doug.
That's why there was a pause. I was like, oh, Drew is back. No, this ain't you.
Yeah, no.
This is not.
Yeah, no.
We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.